Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment.
Get bad! Get bad! Get bad! Get...
Alright guys, welcome back to Good Cop, Bad Cop, episode 275. The Magnificent One in the main chair today, I guess, and joining me... Well, when I'm here, usually the other one, you know, taller Matt is usually here, but instead we've got smarter Matt. Ryan, how are you?
I'm smart. I like that.
Well, smarter than me.
Oh. Well.
Do you have a degree?
No.
Do you have a high school diploma?
I do.
I don't. We don't have them here, to be fair, either, so...
You don't have diploma. Like, what's your?
We get certificates. It's not a diploma.
So it's a certificate of completion of high school.
True, but we also leave at 16 as well.
Do you really?
Mm-hmm. They're what trying happens? To make it compulsory to say to 18 now, but yeah. Well, I know that Graham, when he was, I don't know, Graham probably hate on me for this later, but I believe when he was at school, they could leave at 14.
So, I mean, you can do that in the U.S. too. You can leave at...
You can drop out.
I think it's 16. Mm. But I think you still need, like, parental permission.
Yeah.
Unless you're emancipated.
I mean, you can drive at 16 in America, can't you? In some states.
I think that's pretty much everywhere.
I'm pretty sure you can't in some. But, you know, I'm not an expert. I'm not American, after all. But anyway, so Graham's not here this week. He, I believe he's off pruning vegetables or something like that. So, Ryan, how was your week, sir?
It was a week.
Mm.
That's what I got going on. It was a week, and I'm still recovering from it.
Mm. Yeah, I sort of know that feeling, unfortunately. I can now reveal what I've been wanting to say for the last couple of weeks. Haven't been able to because of one thing or another, but you guys, most people probably know I left my job for 20 years to go work at a pub. Didn't work out for me there. I moved on a couple of weeks back. Ryan's known this for a while, unfortunately. Unfortunately, you know it, but unfortunately, he's known. And it's been very lovely and not, you know, talked about it. but this past week, I started my new job. So I'm back a working man again. I was going to say working gal again, but that's kind of an offensive term, isn't it, Ryan?
Is it?
Well, working gal used to be, you know, streetwalker.
Yeah, it's the oldest profession in the world.
Yeah, but it's frowned upon nowadays.
No, nowadays we respect sex workers.
Oh, respect them, but they still get a lot of hate for one reason or another.
Yeah, but those are from people who suck.
Yes, and don't tip. I imagine as well.
I'm just going to let that one go.
Absolutely. Changes are aplenty at Casa Lewis. Things are going to start to stabilize again. Fingers crossed. We're recording on Saturday because we wanted to move things mainly because of what happened on SmackDown last night. We're probably going to talk about it a little bit. But in the whole, we'll be back to our normal record time, more or less. Rhino, anything you want to talk about in the intro? Have you been watching any late 90s, early 2000 wrestling?
I haven't. I have been distracted. By a lot of things. Mm. So yeah, I haven't had a lot of time. I've been keeping up with like Dark Side of the Ring and all of the other wrestling going on as much as I can. So, you know, just, I get, you know, I go through phases, You know, I'll watch nothing but old wrestling for a month straight, and then I won't watch it for 2 months.
Do you
But
know
that
what?
is the beauty of the network and Peacock and stuff like that is it's just there. It's available when you want it to be, and
I've got to admit, you've influenced me a little bit. I've been dipping in and out of one-off pay-per-views, the good ones. The first Taboo Tuesday, for example. I know it was a couple of those, but I dipped in and out of Great Balls of Fire, which was a terrible name for a pay-per-view, but it was a very good pay-per-view overall. The main event was great, just needed a better name for it, really.
And that's how it started with me. I was just, you know, picking and choosing like pay-per-views that I remembered that I enjoyed. And then that led to, okay, well, what can I do to see something more comprehensive? And, you know, to for anyone who's thinking about jumping, because, you know, it's not like a regular TV show. You can't just jump in at season one and go. If you wanted to jump in with quote unquote season one of WWF, I mean, at minimum you're going back to 85,
Minimum, yeah, I
you
mean.
know, and that's a lot of content. Even if you start with the first Monday Night Raw, you're going back to 93, you're talking 30 years of content. You know, I
And
really
not all of it's
set
good.
myself up for something that would make sense. And my initial decision was I wanted to watch Mick Foley's career in the WWF, which starts in 96 and ends roughly in, you know, we'll call it 2000, but, you know, 2002 to 2004, if you want to consider the one-off matches he was having. And I thought that was good. And it definitely spiraled out of control in the planning stages because I was in and out during Ruthless Aggression, especially for pay-per-views. I was more I watched Raw and the Raw pay-per-views more often than I watched SmackDown and the SmackDown pay-per-views, and I was not in with the internet or the dirt sheets at all at the time, so I didn't know that Heyman was booking SmackDown.
So
And
you didn't know about the SmackDown 6, all that sort of stuff.
yeah, like I saw some of it. If I saw a SmackDown pay-per-view that would had a match I would like to see, I would get it. But the pay-per-views were so out of hand around that time because you were getting brand specific pay-per-views, and a lot of the time in between pay-per-views was kind of cut down. Your build may be 6 weeks, but it may only be 3 weeks between pay-per-views. And it was a lot to keep up with.
And they were
And
charging full price for pay-per-view still, weren't they, of course, back
yeah,
then.
they were still, I think, like $40 a pop
They were twenty,
in
they're
the
twenty, they were
US.
they were twenty, they were 20, 25 pounds here, yeah, which is.
Yeah. And then WrestleMania, which I still did WrestleMania every year, but WrestleMania was like $75.
See, we the same price for WrestleMania as it was for any of the other pay-per-view here.
That must have been nice.
Yeah. WrestleMania was the only one at one point, and then they went every single one went to pay-per-view, and I was like, fuck this shit. So when the network came around, I was all over that like white on rice, you know?
Yeah, and you know, I don't think, I mean, I'm not going to say nobody does because a lot of people do, but I think a lot of people don't understand how much WWE changed the streaming landscape with the network. They were one of the first companies to have a streaming service specifically for their content. Because at that time, you had Netflix, you had Hulu. They were an amalgamation of content from multiple
Absolutely.
different companies, multiple
And
different
different countries.
networks. Yeah.
Because obviously, over in the US, for example, you've got stuff on your Netflix, for example, and your Disney Plus. Disney Plus is the prime example of that. Because, for example, Mayday, for example, you know, one about the investigation about plane crashes, that was on our Disney Plus over here, but they've removed it because the license ran out over here. But over in America, it's still a thing.
Well, look at Disney Plus in general. Disney Plus is the exclusive home of Doctor Who now.
Yes.
At least moving forward. It'd be nice if we could get some classic Who on there, but I get it. But what WWE did is they really changed the game. Now everyone has their own streaming platform. The fact that AMC has their own streaming platform and they are for the most part known for what, three shows? Like, those are their three big hitters that keep people coming back, and I think that's really fascinating. And a lot of it stems back from WWE. WWE was one of the first to do that and to do it successfully, which is funny because now in the US at least, and soon to be, you know, UK as well, they're on someone else's streaming platform because they realized, well, we can just piggyback off of there. They'll pay us to do it.
Let them do all the hard work when we get all the money.
So
it's smart business. It's smart business.
No, it is. It is. And you know, that you can make the argument all day long about, you know, who's better, WWE, AEW, TNA, New Japan, blah, 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 whatever. You can make that argument. But when you come to dollars and cents successful, WWE is the top dog.
I'm going to come back up later, mate.
Yeah, the money is there. It is what it is. Yeah.
So how about we hit the good cop stuff going and then we can get out of here before Grant gets back next week?
Sure.
Good. Bad.
Rhino, I'm going to abdicate and let you go first.
Okay. I've kind of been going back and forth over a couple in my head because I thought there were some really bright spots over the past week. There were also a bunch of not so bright spots.
Mm-hmm.
So I've kind of had to sift through it a little bit. I'm going to go. I like a good return. That's one of my favorite things. That music hits, or a new music hits and you're not sure, but then that screen says a name and the place erupts. And we got three during TNA Rebellion. And I absolutely popped for every single one of them. The first one was, I believe this is the first one, was Steve Macklin comes out to announce that he has signed a new TNA contract and that he wants a match on Rebellion, and that's his final demand. New music hits, crowd is confused, screen pops up, Mike Santana has returned to TNA, and I loved that because I'm a big EYFBO fan. I'm a big Santana fan, and I thought he did some of his best work in TNA, and I feel like he never really did anything in AEW. So having him back in TNA is great. Then, during the clusterfuck that was the Knockouts World Championship match, a lot of interference. Steph DeLander had some hired goons that were trying to sway the match. PCO comes out to help out. You know, everyone's getting beaten up. Lights go out. Lights come back on. Death Machine, Sami Callihan, back in TNA. Love it. Absolutely love it. Especially because I love a good lights out. I love a good lights out return. You know, then the show is wrapping up. Moose has defended successfully his TNA World Championship. And TNA got a little broken. Matt Hardy returned to TNA as Broken Matt Hardy. And I loved it. Like every they were well spread out. Because after two, I didn't expect a third. So, I mean, I just thought it was really fantastically done. The one most recently to that I can think of that really got me was the 1-2 punch of Bryan Danielson and Adam Cole last year or the year before, whenever it was. Because you get one and you're like, oh, that's awesome. Oh, blah, blah, blah. And then you get another one right after. And I love that kind of stuff. And it's getting so hard in recent history in professional wrestling to get a good return, a good debut. Excuse me, something like that. And that's my favorite part of AEW is having another big name company. You can have these kinds of returns and debuts again because people, even if they only know them through like cursory knowledge, they know them. You know, if someone who only watches WWE but has a general knowledge on what's going on in professional wrestling, if someone like MJF or Kenny Omega or the Bucks or Hangman or someone like that showed up on Raw, they would understand that, oh, this is a big deal, even if they don't really know who that person is. And I think that it's just a fun time right now. I love returns. I love debuts. I love that crap. I like exciting wrestling. I like wrestling I don't know what's about to happen. And that's how you do it. You know, you do something unexpected. You know, Cody was kind of expected, even though it wasn't confirmed. I didn't believe it until his music hit. Because I was like, they're gonna swerve us and it's gonna be someone else. But then you go back a couple of years, the ladder match at WrestleMania, when the New Day comes out and says, hey, who could the other team be? And then the Hardys music hits. That's great. You're like, that's exciting.
Let's not forget, of course, they start to walk. The New Day themselves start to walk down the ramp themselves,
Oh,
like it's
yeah.
them.
Absolutely fantastic. That was really, really great return. And it led to a really nice little run for them.
And I'd like to point out something quite shocking here: Jeff Hardy's only ever WrestleMania win.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it.
The only time he's ever won a WrestleMania. The amount of time he's been there, he's never won, apart from that occasion. But I look back and I'm like, that's true. That's fucking terrifying.
Not everyone wins.
No, but you thought he would have won once in his career, at least, so. Until
I
that point.
mean,
He has now, of course.
he was. The unfortunate side of things is there was clear evidence that Edge and Christian were always the top tag team during that era. Like they were the one that Vince wanted to push. But you can't have a top tag team without rivals.
No,
So he had
quite
no
obvious
choice
fact.
but to push, you know, the Hardys and the Dudleys and the APA and stuff like that. They didn't have a choice. But you could always tell that Edge and Christian were the ones that Vince liked because they always won the big matches.
But if he liked them that much, then he would have kept them together, or at least pushed Christian a bit more than he actually did get pushed, because Christian was, to quote our beloved friend Mags, he was the red-headed stepchild.
Oh, for sure. I've always been a Christian fan, and there were a lot of guys who either left WWE or were fired or whatever who showed up in TNA, and I was just kind of like, all right, whatever, more of the same old crap, blah blah blah. But Christian is in the stratosphere of Jericho when it comes to reinventing himself. He just does it so well, and he can fill whatever role is needed of him. And I think he's proven time and time again that he is world champion material. But Edge was the guy. Edge was bigger. Edge was more muscular.
Better looking.
Edge had a lot of things going for him that Vince would push. And unfortunately, yeah, Christian kind of got, Christian got demoted down to ECW for a while. He he never got that singles push that Edge did.
Well, you know, much as I like his in-ring work, he as a character, he has never clicked with me, Christian. Never. At no point have I thought that's the guy. I don't know what it is.
Sometimes people are just wrong about things. It's okay.
But to be fair, it's just I haven't seen it. Doesn't mean he hasn't got it. I personally haven't seen it. Because in my opinion, there have been better people doing that role. That's all.
Did you watch his run in TNA?
No. We didn't get I couldn't get TNA at the time when he was in TNA.
I would recommend... especially because, you know, obviously if it's something new to you, if you ever decide to do a watch through similar to like what I'm doing, you know, grab a couple months of like TNA Plus or however you get it over there. I think TNA Plus is available in the UK.
I'll have to ask the sexual gladiator Dan Griffin. He's our TNA mark.
Yeah, and just watch like Christian's run. It was a really solid run, and they were doing some goofy WCW style shit, but they were doing it really well, like in general, in the whole company.
Goofy's fine if you do it, if it's done well.
Yeah, people don't give TNA has never got their flowers, and you can tell by how Anthem treats them as well. TNA has never got the respect that they deserve as a wrestling promotion and for what they did for the business in the void that WCW and ECW left. They were the only ones attempting to compete with WWE when no one else would, because no one wanted to take the risk. TNA did. And I've got forever love for TNA, and I'm glad that they're doing well, and I'm glad that the unceremonious removal of Scott D'Amore didn't hamstring the company.
Well, if they got people coming back to the company, that's got to be a good sign, you'd think. You'd think. I guess we'll find out in time, of course.
But true.
We'll find out in time, of course. Right. Now, it's been a little bit of a tough one this week for me finding good stuff. Wasn't a great week. There's been some good stuff, but nothing that stood out to me as a great cop moment. So I'm gonna leave most of that stuff. I could have gone through fan cop stuff and found stuff, but I was like, nah. So I'm gonna briefly let Ryan tick the bingo card. Because I am extremely excited. Quite a short best cop moment for a week for me. I've got a very special guest as my co-commentator for CXW Bangers and Smash in 5 weeks' time. I've got the Hollywood idiot known as Ethan Lawrence is going to be stepping into the co-com box with me. And this could be the opportunity to finally get some proper JR, Jerry Lawler style chemistry going in terms of heel and face work. Because I've worked with a lot of faces recently. It'd be nice to get a good heel in the box with me regularly where I can bounce off of, sort of thing. So I wanted to ask Ryan for his favourite commentary pairings. Any variety is allowed to go with, obviously.
I mean, I was a big fan of Heyman and JR, just because Heyman spent the entire time just shitting on JR, and you know Vince was sitting there cackling in the back because shitting on JR was, well, maybe that's a poor choice of words at this point.
In hindsight, yes.
It was one of his favorite pastimes.
Yes.
It sounds weird, just because I know that this is a very, very unpopular opinion, but I think if AEW had Taz and Schiavone as a duo, it would be really, really good. Excalibur sometimes is a little much for me. I like Excalibur, but he just, I don't feel like he there's too much color in his play-by-play, and I feel like he should leave the color to Taz because Taz is so good at it.
Yeah, I've been since he first started doing it in 2000, yeah.
And you know, going back a ways, Joey Styles and Joel Gertner was always a really fun pairing. Especially because they had Don Callis a lot as well, and just the character work alone. I mean, you got Joey Styles, who is arguably one of the greatest to ever do it, because he did it by himself. He didn't have anyone to play off of. He had to play off of himself. He had to play off of what was in the ring. Joey Styles, amazing. And
Yeah.
then you mix in that character work of Joel Gertner and Don Callis, and it was just magic in the booth. It really was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As somebody who's done the solo stuff in the box, it's not easy. It's
No.
not easy because having that someone with you, one, it gives you a chance to breathe. But it's so hard to tell a story by yourself. I mean, you think it'd be easy, but even when you're like reading a story to your child, putting to bed at night, sort of thing, you're still. I mean, yeah, you're doing it yourself, but you know what the story is. You haven't got to improv it, as it were. Joey Styles was one of the best to ever do solo commentary, I think.
I can agree. I mean, you don't obviously see it in a lot of mainstream wrestling. You see it in a lot of indie organizations, mainly just because, you know, people cost money to perform a service.
Yeah.
So if you can have one, that's half the cost of two. And B, because most of these indie promotions are done on a shoestring budget with, you know, the commentator is also the timekeeper, is also the ring crew, is also the guy who takes tickets at the door. You know, there's a lot that's going on than just commentary and all of that stuff combined. You also need to prep for the show and know who's wrestling who, what their background is.
What they're trying to tell is.
You know, and you know, there's a lot that goes into it. Like,
Yeah.
obviously, someone like, you know, you go back to ECW, and you know, you can kind of look at the parallels there that, you know, ECW was an outlaw wrestling show. It was a very, very, very large indie. You know, there's so many. It was just a couple of days ago that they posted the pre-show to, I think it was ECW Heatwave. And it was just this whole like 15-minute pre-show video package that they played before the pay-per-view went on the air. And Tommy Dreamer posted it, and he's like, "This took me days to create." Because he was just sitting in the editing booth trying to create this, you know, but that's the thing. They didn't have video editors, they didn't have cameramen for promos and stuff like that. They had Paul Heyman, they had Tommy Dreamer, they had the, you know, the guys, the boys helping out. They were filming Foley told stories where after shows they would be there till 3, 4 in the morning filming promos, because that's the everyone's there. You have to do it sometime. They don't have, you know, studios in Stamford that they can just run to and film promos. Yeah, and I lost track of what we were talking about. Commentary. I don't know.
Best commentary teams, yeah. I mean, you talk about solo ones. JR famously did the TLC 4 with Kane winning in it against JR, Jericho, not JR, against Jericho and Christian RVD and Jeff Hardy and Spike and Bubba. JR did the whole match on his own, and that was, it was interesting seeing him doing it, but literally that was a clusterfuck of a match in general, but nothing wrong about it, of course. You go back to JR and Heyman, talk about them. They were only together from the night after No Way Out 2001 until Survivor Series. It was only like 9-10 months, and then King was back, obviously, and then Heyman was back to booking SmackDown from then on, sort of thing. So that was, I've wanted to highlight some of the best comedy teams out there, and Ryan's the person to do that. So that's why I thought I'd bring him in on my good call moment of the week. Going to be a little bit flexible, Ryan. No time this week. What have you got? Good cop, speed check.
Other than the same complaint that I always have, length, Dynasty was really good. I thought that pretty much everything is advertised was what I expected. I can't even think right now. The Elite finally turning face by taking out that scoundrel Tony Khan, that popped me in what was a very very forgettable Dynamite, just to watch someone pile drive Tony Khan brought me joy. It doesn't take much. I think that's really what I mean. Wrestling was good over the past week, for the most part. I don't really have anything that really stood out. Kind of like you said, there's not, like, it was fine, but it didn't stand out.
Yeah, but that can happen. I mean, bear in mind, we're just coming off like the busiest point of the year. It's going to be a little bit every now and again, isn't it? We're kind of burnt out a little bit, aren't we, sort of thing.
Actually, I think it was last week on SmackDown. It was last week when they were in Montreal?
Last week in Montreal on Raw, yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, it was Raw, yeah. Okay.
Because Chad turned heel in Montreal. It was one of the best good comments you've ever done.
It was. I don't know what I'm thinking about. There was something.
Well, I thought you can jump in, Ryan. If okay,
yeah.
I want to talk more about it because one of my speech at moments actually is the continuation of Chad Gable's heel turn, where he basically forced the Academy to fall in line. And watching Tozawa and Maxine and Otis all frustratedly fall in line, but then Maxine's aggression in the battle royal later that night, Maxine as a in heel mode again, that'd be interesting. I don't think Otis is a heel for a while either. I don't think we've ever seen Tozawa as a proper heel. Alpha Academy could be properly heel, and I reckon it could do really well if it's booked properly. And I think, well, Trips will book it properly, you'd like to think. The other thing is that, and this is going to sound really, obvious sort of thing, and you may already know about this, Ryan, but I was playing part of the 2K24 video game this week, and I happened to have Rob Van Dam in the match. And the good comment is what Corey Graves says on commentary. Have you ever had a RVD match yet? Have you?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, well, sorry, it's a little bit of a spoiler. Corey Graves is talking to Byron Saxton and Michael Cole on the commentary as RVD making his entrance. That's the thing, it's out of date on that side of things because Saxton's not been on commentary now for about a year. So that's a bit out of date, unfortunately. Corey Graves, she said, like, oh, Saxon, I'll be right back. It's 4:18, back in a couple of minutes. I'm like, That's a really nice. That's a nice touch to the commentary, mentioning 420 in the commentary. I chuckled for about half an hour at that.
Good job, Graves.
Yeah, that also goes to show they're way more lenient letting that sort of stuff go now on the games, as we've been told multiple times. It is a much the end of a PG era. Did you remember what it was, Ryan?
No. Oh, actually, I do.
Go.
It was in Montreal, but it was Pat McAfee calling a Canadian destroyer the country that we're in destroyer. That tickled me pink because he says these dumb things with such conviction. And I know he's doing it just to break Cole.
Yeah.
And that makes me happy. Like a couple of weeks ago, he said, Dominic Mysterio is a dude wipe after you've wiped.
Yeah.
And the footage of Cole just losing his shit is absolutely endearing. I just like, yeah, I mean, Graves and Barrett are fine. They're an acceptable commentary team,
They didn't
but
do a good job.
for pure entertainment, Michael Cole and Pat McAfee. And I was so against Pat McAfee when he first showed up. I was like, ah, oh, just another
Well
fucking ex-football player. Like, who cares? Whatever. And honestly, it took weeks before
done.
I was
Took me years, mate. Took me years.
like, the guy is the voice of the fans, and he does such a good job at it. And he is the kind of color commentator I can really get behind. Because he's, you know, he does that. He's not a heel or a face necessarily.
He embraced what needs to be embraced.
Yeah. So like his whole thing with, you know, the bloodline.
The yeats.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden he's yeeting. And then all of a sudden, he's, you know, kind of being a chicken shit to whoever's getting in his face. It's just good commentary.
Absolutely. On, can I just say as well? Credit to Corey Graves for taking that bump he took last week as well. When he had a tag team champion
Oh, yeah.
thrown into his lap. Massive credit where it's due. The commentary teams have been stepping up for sure. Which makes me very, very happy. Michael Cole, since he's had the reins taken off him, he is just an absolute fucking delight. The only time I can remember him doing that under Vince's leadership, as it were, was when it was the first night in the performance center when they were when he had Triple H alongside him. That's the first time we'd seen him like with the reins, and he looks so much more at home, didn't he?
Yeah, and I think, you know, to give credit where credit is due, I think even Vince understood what was going on. They needed to be a little more lighthearted just to, you know, I'm not,
Take a
you
minor
know,
thing.
not to, you know, not to pull words out of CM Punk's mouth, but I'm not saying he's, you know, a paragon of virtue, but the fact that the company and Vince and all of them understood we need to be a little more lighthearted right now because everyone's fucking miserable and
People are
everyone's
dying.
fucking scared, you know. But I'm just happy that we can have that again without a global catastrophe.
Yes, absolutely. Quite the opposite, in fact, actually. It's been an absolute delight. I mean, I was so against Pat McAfee coming into the company. You know, what the fuck's he doing? I mean, like, one off matches is fine for you, but he's hanging around now. You don't, now he's doing commentary. What the fuck? And he won me over. He won me over. Very happy to have been proven wrong on that side of things.
I'm really waiting for the day that he doesn't know that the announce table's been gimmicked and he goes up to do a yeet
And
and then
gets
just
through.
collapses through the table.
I was about to say the same thing. Like, lucky that no table would have yeeted him through it so far. Back in the day, they gave way on a second's notice, didn't they? Ridiculous, ridiculous. Right. Ryan, shall we load both barrels and go to Bad Cop?
Yeah.
Same order. You're up, Rhino.
So, I mean, I've got a couple Bad Cop moments, but I can't decide which one is the worst offender.
Right. Are they the same sort of thing? Because if that's the case, I'll let you do a super Bad Cop.
No, they're not. So I think I'll have to convert the others over to speed check.
We can work with that. Go on.
I think, and this is just based on what I think you're going to say. This is what I'm trying to base on. What I think you're going to say. I'm going to go with, and as much as I am a fan, there were a lot. This is becoming an ongoing issue. Actually, you know what? I'm going to use this as a whole thing. Hook versus Jericho at Dynasty for the FTW Championship. So there are multiple Bad Cops within this, so it works out. So first and foremost, Jericho and Young Talent has been following the same formula for a long time. Jericho says, I want to help you because I'm a veteran. The Young Talent goes, okay. They beat Jericho. And then Jericho says, you're learning. And then Jericho turns on them. And then Jericho beats them. It's a rinse and repeat situation. And I'm really, so the first problem is that match was pointless. There was no need for it. And it added another 16 minutes or whatever to an already very long pay-per-view. So now keep in mind too, that was a 14 to 16 minute match. I can't remember how long exactly it was. Whereas the TBS championship match between Julia Hart and Willow Nightingale was 6 minutes. Now, granted, I have heard that Julia is actually injured right now, so that's why they had a quick match. But I would have just said, just don't do it. Figure something else out. Instead of giving them 6 minutes and immediately taking Willow's championship win away from her by making it all about Mercedes. Stupid. I did not. But anyways, this isn't about that. This is about Jericho and Hook. So first and foremost, I didn't like the concept of the match. I didn't really like the fact that the match existed on this card. And here's the part that really bugged me. The crowd, the fans. So I'm going to use a really vague, broad generalization for this. We all know the classic wrestling chant, you fucked up. Now, there are two ways for that chant to be used. One, smaller wrestler punches bigger wrestler. Bigger wrestler no sells and stares them down. Crowd chants, you fucked up. Because they're about to get their ass kicked.
Happened over time when someone slapped Ronda Rousey, for example.
Yeah. Then there's the less than great one where someone botches a move.
Happens. We're human.
That at that point it's disrespectful and I don't like it. Now, this is something, and this is not a shot at AEW fans, this is a shot at wrestling fans because this has happened in every promotion. Please go home, please retire, stuff like that. Disrespectful. It's just, I don't like it. And it's not heel heat, it's go home heat, which is a fault of AEW as well. But the loudest reaction you can make is to not have a reaction. So I don't understand why people feel the need to attack a wrestler as opposed to just ignoring them. If you really want Jericho to go away, you need to not react to his segments and to his matches. Chanting juvenile things doesn't help because it's still a reaction, and that's what they look for. This whole feud between Hook and Jericho has fallen flat, and it fell flat from day one. Last week on Dynamite, before Dynasty, Taz brokered a peace talk between Jericho and Hook. It was like they were going to have a therapy session. They had been quote-unquote teaming for 2 weeks. It's pointless. Absolutely pointless. This was a rushed...
2 years?
Yeah, this was a rushed, stupid feud with a stupid match that just didn't make sense. And yet we have... I brought it up earlier. I love Jericho being able to reinvent himself. But now he reinvents himself every 3 months, and it's less entertaining because you just never know what you're going to get. And now he's got like 14 gimmicks within AEW. It's not funny anymore. Is it time for maybe Jericho to step back a little bit? Yes. Is it time for us to start chanting, please retire, go home? Boring. No, that's I hated that. If you go back and you watch late 90s WWF, WCW, I even then the crowd would chant boring if someone wasn't getting hit with a chair or put through a table. Kurt Angle would get boring chants because he was an actual wrestler. Yeah, nowadays,
didn't he go on the mic during Survivor Series about it?
Yeah, you don't boo an Olympic gold medalist. Nowadays, if someone is 30% as good as Kurt Angle was, they're considered one of the best in the world.
Depends if your name begins with D or not.
Well, he doesn't count. Even the people he gives 6 stars to think he's kind of a moron.
Kind of.
So I don't know. I there's definitely a Jericho fatigue in AEW, especially when they keep saying we're building new stars, and then it seems like Double or Nothing seems to be when all of Tony Khan's shiny new toys come in and take the belts off of the veteran AEW guys, the new stars that they were going to build. There have been 11 AEW World Championship runs
in 5 years.
There have 7 of that 11 are former WWE guys. So are you really building new stars? You know, obviously there's some huge outliers. Adam Page, MJF, Swerve. Like, these are huge, like, you know, these are new stars. These are guys who never really got a chance. Samoa Joe has been a star for a long time in multiple places. Kenny Omega, he's been a star for a long time, mainly in Japan, but still.
Did you include Swerve in that number, by the way?
No,
because Swerve did wrestle in WWE, of course.
He did, but he was never a star.
Still a former WWE guy. I'm just saying, going
boy. Oh, well, I included him in the former WWE guys, but he wasn't a He never got, I think he got over in NXT, but there was,
I retract my statement.
Yeah, there was a ceiling for him in WWE, unfortunately. He wasn't the kind of guy Vince was looking for, which sucks. Because Swerve is good.
Oh, yeah.
But it just, you know, the fact that Willow's a new star for the most part. And she's finally TBS champion. And it's, you think Mercedes is going to fucking lose at Double or Nothing?
No.
Like, no. She'll probably, absolutely probably win not.
In 5 seconds. Set a new record.
Ospreay is facing Roderick Strong. You think Ospreay's going to lose? No. Okada comes in, takes the belt off of Kingston. The Bucks are tag team champions again. Like, the title picture, the only person, and yes, she is a former WWE person, but again, I don't think she got her flowers in WWE, Toni Storm, because she has reinvented herself in a brilliant way. She is doing amazing character work. She's having good matches. She's having meaningful feuds. It's great. Obviously, it's going to, you know, in my mind, what I want to see Tony completely go off the rocker. So Mariah May kind of backs off, and then Mariah May versus Toni Storm for the world title. Awesome. Great. There's a story there. It's going to be a great match. There's a lot of things going good for it. But now we see what we always talk about. Someone debuts, in this case, Deonna Purrazzo. They have their world title match. They lose. They hang out at catering. Like, she's had a couple of matches, but she's not really in any storylines. She's just kind of there. Now she's maybe feuding with Thunder Rosa. Why? I don't know. There's just...
And they've been an AEW just before WrestleMania releasing people. Now, I'm just touching on here because I wanted to touch on it back then. I didn't get a chance to. Because we promised we wouldn't for your benefit, and he did try for a shot, ironically. It annoys me because the roster is bloated at AEW. Great, some great talent in there for sure. The writing, the booking, that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about the amount of people on the roster. And Tony Khan went back on what he said, and I knew, and we all knew he would, but it was like, no, he won't. He won't do that. But he did. He did. Right now, he's just Vince Light.
Just, this is the same complaint I had with the Women's World Title Battle Royal on Raw. You have opportunities to build new stars, and you go with Old Faithful. That's why, you know, you look at longest reigning champions in AEW, MJF, John Moxley, Kenny Omega. Moxley's a three-time champion. He's the only three-time champion in the world title picture. He's old, he's reliable. And there's nothing against Moxley. Moxley is insanely talented, and he's a workhorse. But why did it take so long to get back to what you say you stand for, which is building new stars, Swerve. You know, MJF, even Adam Page. Like, those are the guys who should be champion in your promotion. I understand Chris Jericho being the first champion. You needed to legitimize your company. Makes perfect sense. I would do the same thing. You need a name.
We would argue that one, but
you need a name to bring people in. They were an unknown quantity. So they needed someone who casual wrestling fans would recognize. Oh, Chris Jericho is champion of this promotion. I should check it out. It makes perfect sense. From a logical standpoint, it makes perfect sense. It just, you know, and just like Raw. Oh, let's just put the belt on Becky. Old reliable.
There is a reason, obviously, why we just don't know what it is yet.
Is there, though?
I have faith in that. Now, I'm aware of I'm aware that it was blind faith before, but to be fair, faith in Paul Levesque so far have been pretty solid. To be fair, I have faith that he has a plan. I mean, I sort of want to know what the plan was before Rio got injured. I mean,
I cannot.
a lot of people begging face it, to be fair, and the draft still got to be concluded.
I cannot rest on my laurels on this. I think it was a bad move.
That's
You
fine.
could have made a new star, and it would have taken no real effort.
Who would you, okay then? Okay, I'm gonna give you the floor, as it were, then. Who would you have had win it?
Chelsea. She got eliminated. The refs didn't see it. She got back in and she wins it. It fits perfectly with her character. We know she's good in the
But
ring.
does it anymore? Her character has been in flux recently. She seems to be more face now.
She's face because people like her. She's face because she is entertaining and people enjoy when she's on screen. I would not say she's face. I would say she's still very much a heel, but she definitely is a fan favorite. I say you put the belt on Chelsea. Nobody sees it coming. You put the belt on Chelsea and just have her be chicken shit heel. Keep retaining through
She's got Piper to back her
disqualification.
up as well.
Yeah. You know, retain via disqualification, retain via count out, retain any way possible. Then,
I mean, is that the story there, or would Chelsea beating Becky for it do more for her?
I don't think so.
I think if Chelsea, I mean, we don't know who the challenge is going to be yet, but I'm going to say, put Chelsea up against Becky. Piper helps Chelsea win it, or someone screws Becky out of it, so Chelsea becomes the champion. I think that makes that gives him more.
I don't think it works for her character. That's a victory over the champion. Chelsea doesn't care about the victory over the champion. Chelsea cares about attention. And I feel like if she just won it, and then constant people saying, you didn't really win it, and she's constantly bitching and complaining about that. I think that's the way. She retains through just, again, chicken shit heel antics. Then Rhea comes back as a face, and Brock Lesnar's her ass. Just riptide, one, two, three. I see that as a logical story. Chelsea couldn't win the title and she couldn't defend it without Piper's help or whatever. I don't know. I'm Becky'd out. I have Becky fatigue. She's not quite Charlotte levels yet, but the fact that she's like, nobody believes in me. I'm the underdog. You're a seven-time world champion. You're not the underdog. Sorry. It just doesn't work for me.
Yeah, but she's not been champion for like over a year now, though.
Who cares? Still not an underdog.
Well, that part I agree with. Absolutely.
That would be like fucking Brock coming back and saying, I haven't been champion in 2 years. I'm the underdog. No, you're not. You're huge.
On that note, how long was Roman WWE champion for?
I don't know. I honestly have no idea.
Because I guarantee
Two,
you,
three and a half years.
a lot of people have been getting it wrong. Because I've been saying to the nearest 100, how many days?
I have no idea.
They were saying, oh, 1400 days. 700.
Oh, because you're using the fact that he was Universal Champion and then won the
That's what
WWE.
they. Well, that's because that is true. Because the championship were defended separately. They're still separate lineages. There are two title, two championships in one belt.
No, they're unified.
They're not. Undisputed and unified are very different things, sir.
I don't even know how we got on this topic.
We started talking about Lesnar, and so I went off on tangent. I apologize about that.
Right. Whatever, you're tricking people with logic.
Yeah, but that's what logic is all about, my friend. Right. Now, do you want to have a guess where I'm going this week? Because I guarantee you're not going to get it right.
I am just going to take a shot in the dark and say Tony Khan.
Well, last week I was praising him. And I would have praised him right up until about a little while ago, actually. Because of what he came out and said this week. Well, because I'm like, he obviously, first of all, he can't sell for shit. Now, granted, Vince will tell for selling as well, but got punched in the chest and in the belly and then didn't sell the stomach shot for maybe 30 seconds. I'm like, what the fuck? For one thing. But then appears on, like, I think it was some kind of NFL show with a whole fucking neck brace to sell it. And to be fair, I was like, okay. He's doing his best to try and put this over. Okay, I'm on board with the kayfabe here. Okay, fine. But then he said that AEW is like Pepsi. First of all, that's the inferior brand for me. But then he said that WWE is like Harvey Weinstein. The bad cop here is obvious, obviously, but I'm confused cop here, Ryan, because I'm not going to keep going on about, you know, what he gets, because it's clear what he's getting at. But can you help me understand how you compare Pepsi with Harvey Weinstein?
Well, A, you can't.
But he just did.
They didn't say it was successful. I feel like as much as Tony pretends to hate him, because Tony hates everyone who disagrees with him. And even though he used to work there for a cup of coffee. I feel like he read into Eric Bischoff a little too much with controversy creates cash. And I understand what he was trying to say. It's still wrong. It was still completely inappropriate, one way or the other. He was trying to attack Vince, but Vince is irrelevant right now. So he attacked WWE as a whole. And he did it in a very disgusting way. And if you want to make light of sexual predators, maybe you should look at some of your roster and maybe think a little differently about how you feel or who you hire. At the end of the day, I don't give a shit why he said it. It is disrespectful to not only the victims of Harvey Weinstein, but other victims as well of sexual assault. And it was completely inappropriate. And the fact that people defended him, I don't under why why was there unified bipartisan outrage against the CM Punk footage, but not unified bipartisan outrage about a straight up rape joke? This doesn't make sense. And people should be ashamed of themselves, and Tony Khan should be ashamed of himself. I am not one of those people because words are cheap. Actions speak louder than words. But this is one of those times where I feel that Tony Khan needs to go live on Dynamite and say, I'm sorry for what I said. Because that was fucked up. And I don't want Tony on my screen. I do not like when Tony Khan is on my television. He's not good. He stares into space. He's got the fucking coke eyes. Like, I don't want him on my TV. But honestly, at this point, he should feel embarrassed. And I think he should have to deal with the consequences. And
Indeed.
I think that means admitting what he did wrong live on television.
But I also don't think we will see that because it has been revealed that apparently the NFL Network, which is what he did the thing on, they were actually, and I'm quoting here, they were delighted with Tony Khan's appearance despite the controversial line.
NFL's also pretty heavily full of sexual predators.
Yeah,
So
I mean, I can only, it's not good. It's not good. I mean, I don't, but I mean, I still can't get over the fact of what was the comparison he was trying to make more than anything else. I mean, you can buy it one, two. I mean, if you say like Pepsi and Coca-Cola, for example, that's a comparison you can get behind, sort of thing. Or McDonald's, Burger King, or Pizza Hut, Domino's, Sonic and In-N-Out Burger, for example. Those sort of things. You can compare these sort of things. Universal Disney World, these sort of things you can compare. Matt and Graham, one better than the other. I don't get how comparing him to Pepsi and comparing that to that works for me. I can't understand the logic behind it. There is no logic there at all. I'm wondering if maybe he took a full pile driver and not just, sold one. Anyway, what's speed check for Bad Cop, right? Again, gonna be slightly fluid with this, so you can be as you can talk about as much as you want, bud.
Little disappointed so far in the draft. I don't the episode of SmackDown overall was really good. The in-ring was really good. I really loved the Carlito turn. But I feel like there wasn't enough movement. The only real movement was some NXT call-ups. And that's fine. I mean, Monday, Raw is the flagship show. We all know this. And plus they want to save the big stuff for the end. So I still have faith, but SmackDown's draft was a little weak. And speaking of that, chant don't chant Undertaker at Michelle McCool. Like this, what? That's she's there. He isn't. Chant McCool, like, or chant Tori because she was standing right next to her. Like I don't know. This is stupid. Don't chant the Undertaker. That's dumb. Again, Dynamite, Willow had her TBS championship win celebration, again was interrupted by Mercedes. Build a star, don't make this about Mercedes. Your Mercedes hasn't done anything. So far it's been a pointless signing. There's no point of her being there. If she's still injured, then you shouldn't have debuted her. And if you were going to debut her a little early, you should have debuted her at Dynasty when the title changed hands, because that would have been a big pop. But you didn't. So, blah. The only bad cop moment from Rebellion, Spanish fly off the top rope from Kazarian to Eric Young. And Eric Young took the bump by hitting the corner of the table with the back of his head. And as he landed, it wasn't nearly as bad, but I can only draw parallels to Eddie Guerrero. Within literal seconds, there was just blood spewing out of the back of his head. Luckily, I don't think I've heard that there's any long-lasting issues. So, EY, we love you. Injury angle to end Ospreay and Daniel Bryan. I don't really care for serious injury angles, especially someone who has neck problems, and then using, you know, him twitching in the ring like he just broke his neck. No, that's not it. That just don't do that. I am slightly glad, though, that Will Ospreay's gimmick right now is that he won't be doing the Tiger Driver anymore, because it is a dangerous move. And it's one of those moves that maybe should be used very, very sparingly. It's like a pile driver. We don't need pile drivers in every match. They're dangerous. Use them when they need to be used. Yeah, actually, the majority of Dynamite was pretty meh to me as well. And then, like I said earlier, Becky winning the championship doesn't do it for me. So I consider that a bad cop moment.
That is fair. Right. Time for me to go through. Time for me to go through mine. Bad cop on a few things. One of which is, and hear me out here when I say this, okay, is Vince McMahon selling all of his shares in TKO. It's finally gone through. To be honest, bad cop is it took this long for it to actually happen. I actually thought it would be much sooner than that. Nick Khan has also put all of his up for sale. That's wondering if he's going to still hang around or not. I'm going to find that one out in due course. Ospreay versus Danielson at Dynasty was heralded as the greatest match in US history. I'll give you two guesses as to who actually said that was the case. To quote someone about, to quote one of them in particular, Ospreay, one of a hidden blade. If you see one match is good in your life, as a wrestling fan, you can see yourself blessed. Yeah. It was good, but it wasn't the greatest ever wrestling match on US soil, that's for sure. Someone on Twitter saying basically that won't refer to Becky Lynch, Seth Rollins, or Finn Balor by their renames. He'll call them Prince Debit, not Devitt, Debit, Tyler and Rebecca, because he doesn't want to use their Fed slave names. Get out. Some people are just absolute cunts this week. Really, really have been. Lars Sullivan trying to slide into someone's DMs on Instagram. It was so fun the way that he was outed. Hulk Hogan trying to take credit for discovering The Undertaker by saying that he introduced him to Vince when he was on the film Suburban Command, and actually got him signed from actually doing the film Suburban Commando. He was already on, he was already signed with WWE whilst filming Suburban Commando, so that's complete bullshit. The amount of stuff we're learning from Taker now on his 60 Under podcast is absolute, it's the absolute delight. And the last thing I want to mention here is people hating on WWE probably going to WrestleMania for London, because what could the mayor of London has said they want WrestleMania in London. And it's basically someone said basically like Melbourne is the best sporting city in the world, not London. And the amount of people who have told this guy wrong, and he won't have it. I would like Ryan to come in, rebuttal me here, because I don't know if he believes Melbourne is a better sporting city than London. I'm aware that our cities in America may be better, but is London better than Melbourne, in your opinion?
Well, for the idea of a better sporting city, I don't care. I don't know. It doesn't matter to me. That's a stupid thing to think. However, Australia is also very isolated. London, you're going to get fans from Germany. You're going to get fans from France. You're going to get fans from the Netherlands. You're going to get fans from Eastern Europe. Your shit, you might get some friends from Northern Africa who are making the trip over, because holy shit, WrestleMania is like right there. We can go to WrestleMania. I mean, hell, India. Obviously, India and the UK still have a lot of connections. You know, there's a lot of people with family who live, you know, from India who live in the UK. WWE is like, what is it, the second most popular sporting event in India other than cricket? You think a lot of people aren't going to call their families in the UK, be like, you're getting WrestleMania, can we come and stay with you so we can go to WrestleMania? Like, it makes more logical sense. I mean, it would be great someday to have WrestleMania in Australia, but the more logical place would be, you know, London, Munich, Paris, something like that. Something fairly central in Europe that other European countries can go to, because you just you no offense to Australia, but I have friends in Australia, and you know, if they're in, like, say WrestleMania is in Melbourne, or you know, Elimination Chamber in Perth or Sydney or whatever, these places are not close together. There's a bunch of fucking nothing in the middle of it. You know, it's not a, oh yeah, we'll just pop over to Melbourne real quick. It's a, oh, we have an 8-hour plane flight to get to the fucking next biggest city. So I don't know. I think it's stupid to even argue about it, but London makes more sense.
I thank you very much for using logic on that one, because I used all this and he was like, no, we've got 100,000, we've got several 100,000 stadiums in this city and we've got all these different things. I'm like, yeah, Melbourne's a great city. It's got the MCG, it's a massive stadium which holds 100,000 people, and you sold 70,000 tickets for when they had Super Showdown there. We had the Grand Prix here, we had a record crowd. Like, you did. Fantastic. 412,000 people turned up. Silverstone does that every single year.
And to be fair, I feel like WWE holding big events in Australia is fairly new.
It's an emerging market, for sure. Emerging
Yeah,
market.
let it build. London and the UK and Europe in general has been, you know, kind of,
Greatest.
I hate to say it, but
Greatest.
you know, they've been in line for a long time waiting for this opportunity. You know, because the last huge, huge, huge event was for WWE was SummerSlam in '92. And then they pretty much, for another giant event, they had to wait all the way until All In last year.
Crash
I'm
the
talking,
Clash the Castle.
that wasn't a stadium show, that was
Yeah,
an
it
arena.
was.
Where was it?
It was at Prince Palace Stadium, the Welsh capital city, National Stadium.
What's it called?
The Principality Stadium.
Principality Stadium.
Yeah.
Principality Stadium. Okay, yeah, no, that is pretty big. So yeah, then they had to wait for that. So they've had three major stadium shows in 30 years for pro wrestling.
Absolutely, yeah.
That to me says it's time for Mania. And
Yeah.
then bring Mania back to the US for a couple of years and then plan out your roadmap. I don't know, like
I think that trips will. I think, well, not the trips, but the whole TKO board thing. Like, we could do some serious money here. We could make serious money in certain places. Because that was something else the guy brought up. Like, well, WWE would charge London for it, whereas Tony Khan actually contributes to the economy. Like, he gives the FA, which owns the stadium, so not the economy, he's paying the FA $400,000 for each all-in show. Allegedly makes 10 million on the gate, which works out at over $1,000 a ticket. If you go, if obviously not everyone pays that price, but that's a hell of a high average. Because I'm sure it wasn't WrestleMania ticket price on average. Because resale, fourth row, is going for 2.5 grand, and they haven't even sold out yet. This year's all in.
No,
You've got.
I agree, I agree wholeheartedly that we need more big shows internationally, but just this isn't something where just because you want it doesn't mean it's economical for the companies involved. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. But they need to know without a shadow of a doubt that they are going to sell out that arena
Yeah.
or that stadium. They're not going to do it just because, well, people seem to really want it. They need to know. They need, because once it's booked, there's no going back. What are you going to say? Like, I mean, they could move if, say, they can't fill an arena. So that, companies have done that in the past. I think WWE's done it, AEW's done it, ECW's done it, WCW's done it, where you start in one arena and then either you have too many or too little ticket sales, so you move to another arena that's nearby.
Didn't they do that with Money in the Bank in Vegas?
Yeah, they went from
The massive open air stadium to a smaller one.
to the T-Mobile arena. Yeah. Which is great.
Amazing.
I mean, I stand by, I would rather see a packed mid-size arena than an empty large arena.
Yes, absolutely.
Like I thought, TNA gets it. Rebellion was at the Palms in Las Vegas. I think it's a 2100 seat arena, and the place was pretty packed and it sounded loud because there wasn't all this empty space. And it was a great show.
Indeed. We could probably keep talking about this for a while, but we want to get out of here sometime today. So how about you do some fan cop stuff, Ryan, yeah?
Yeah.
Right. Are you ready to go, Rhino? Do you want me to go
Oh,
first?
God, no, give me a second.
Okay, then what I'm going to do first is I'm going to read out what I've been contractually obligated to read out by our usual co-host. Graham's got a best cop moment, which was Benjamin Banks wrestling in Northern Virginia for the first time since 2018 at VCW. Send the pictures, he looks in great shape. Worst cop moment, the draft is fucking stupid. Picking people ridiculously early who could easily be gotten in later rounds, not realistic. I have said my piece to Graham about this. That fact that he didn't know there were pools for drafting and the champions are protected this year. You have him, as Ryan has mentioned, there's not been a lot of movement. But to be fair, some picks you make and some you, I mean, when you're actually doing a draft sort of thing, you also got to think about what people don't want to move as well. Because I'll be behind a seat, but I don't want to move like from Tuesday to Monday nights, for example. I don't want to do Thursday. I don't want to do Fridays, that sort of thing. And don't forget, of course, the great promo from Paul Heyman. Jerry and JBL was champion for a year was because Triple H didn't work Tuesdays, which was extremely funny to me. We can argue with one another next week in the background if you want to. It's not a problem. Ryan, you ready to go? What you got for me?
And I'm basing this off of what's trending right now. We got trending in entertainment right now is Howard Stern, who famously released a film called Private Parts, in which case he appeared on the poster nude, and it was implying that a large skyscraper was maybe his penis. And that brilliantly transitions right into our good friend Dan Griffin at Dan Griffin 21. Good cop moment. TNA Rebellion was a banging show all around, as usual, a veritable smorgasbord of wrestling delicacies with something for everyone. Bad cop moment, the usual post-mania releases. Never nice seeing folks lose their jobs. I agree with both of these things, as I mainly do with Dan, because Dan understands me at a deep emotional level.
Yes, although you weren't happy about the disagreement between EY's head and the corner of the table, though.
It's true. I feel like that table was out of line.
Absolutely. I would like to point out that no one likes to see someone lose their job. I can vouch for that, having lost mine at the start of the month, obviously. But at the same time, not none of them were really shockers this year, were they?
Was that a question?
Yes, it was a question, yes.
I'd say yes and no.
I mean, I wasn't shocked to see Inda Shah released. I was surprised Jinder Mahal would release as soon as after having a world title match, to be fair. But they're not they have, most of the people hadn't been on TV in regular programs for a while. So I wasn't massively shocked when these people were announced. It wasn't like we were seeing Ziggler released, for example. Right, okay. Thank you, Dan Griffin, for those ones. I'm gonna go to his tag team partner, to Rob, at UTT Rob. Good cop moment. After Alvida Zane Pett beat AEW in the ratings, I went on a YouTube rabbit hole finding Pat Roach on Bullseye. WTF cop moment. Tony Khan going from 0 to 60 on as an air on air character. Bad cop moment. WWE not living up to hashtag don't hinder Jinder. For context, by the way, AEW was also beaten in the ratings this week by a repeat of Family Affairs on Channel 5. Just for context, that's a second-rate soap opera, which wasn't good at the time, not any worse on repeat. So yeah, AEW over here, due to the positioning in the schedule, is not good. Maybe once somebody goes to Netflix, they actually put on TNT over here. They've got more of a chance then, perhaps. Rhino, your next one?
We'll go with People's Champ, JCB.
JCB, JCB.
Good cop moment, St. Louis, reminding the wrestling world this is a destination place for any promotion. Dynasty crowd was hot. Bad cop moment, Kyle Fletcher losing on TV as the Ring of Honor TV champ. Swerve shouldn't have been wrestling. He should have cut a promo on his title win. I agree and disagree. I don't like the whole eliminator system that they have. I feel like it's dumb. So you have to beat the champion for an opportunity to wrestle the champion for the championship. It's just a little stupid to me. But I agree. But it doesn't matter. JCB doesn't matter. Ring of Honor doesn't exist anymore. It's just developmental. Those titles don't mean anything. So it's cool.
Yeah, I mean, Mark Briscoe's only got the Ring of Honor world title because of his brother.
Because Eddie doesn't want to work Tuesdays. Oh, sorry. What?
Well, yeah,
I
absolutely.
disagree with, but I do, I disagree with that entirely. I think Mark Briscoe has stepped up as a singles competitor, but
I'm not disputing
I
that
think
part.
he should be a main roster AEW guy going for a main roster AEW championship.
I'm not disputing what you're saying there, okay? But we can agree and disagree on this one, perhaps. But and I'm being deadly serious when I say this. Much like Rey Mysterio in 2006, there is no way that the belt would be put on him if it wasn't for the tragedy that occurred in his life. There's no way he'd be in the single division.
I mean, he'd probably still be a tag team wrestler, to be
Yeah,
fair.
to be fair, yeah. I'm gonna go high five, Tom. Good cop moment. Haven't watched it yet, but heard Alexander and Hammerstone door tore the roof off last weekend. WTF cop moment. Yep, UTD Rob, I'm stealing your gimmick. Moxley's first IWGP defense in the end. Will Hobbs. No offense to Hobbs, but Tsuji reaction mirrored my reaction. And Rob does reply to this in Japanese. I've translated it. Thank you, Google, for that. To it to powerhouse Hobbs. Yeah. So nice to see you back, Tom. Always a pleasure, buddy.
All right, moving on to SJ, Carnival Chaos. Good cut moment. Kenny Omega's return to AEW. I'll be seeing him live next week here in Winnipeg. Bad cut moment. Oklahoma being assholes towards Nyla Rose.
Still,
Yeah.
yeah.
Oklahoma, and not Ed Ferreira. Just again, I want to repeat, Ed Ferreira's amazing character work in WCW is not a question here. The question is the shitty right-wing assholes who run the Oklahoma government.
Unfortunately, you are absolutely right, sir. I'm gonna go heel Cherry Jerry. Good cop moment. Possible WrestleMania at London. Yeah, exactly. Very possible. We'll see how it goes, sort of thing. WTF cop moment. Xia Li and Jinder Mahal gone from WWE. Yeah, of course, because of Cherry Jerry's over in Australasia, of course, isn't he? Of course. And bad cop moment. Jimmy Uso's out injured. That's something of a concern. Jimmy was obviously just out of bloodline and now he's be treading water again, gonna reestablish himself.
It's actually, I think that actually might be a blessing in disguise because they're going to have to rebuild this new bloodline with Tama Tonga and all that stuff going on. And then Jimmy can, because it's much easier to turn someone face if they return.
Yeah.
So if Jimmy's off TV for, say, 6 months or whatever, and then comes out to save Jay from the bloodline. Or new
Perfection.
bloodline, Solo and Tama versus the Usos. I'm here for it. To be fair, I'm not really on board with the either Uso as singles competitors. I think that they've both had some okay matches, but honestly, I think they should just be a tag team again.
I do prefer Jay's theme song.
You mean the Usos theme song?
Well, his version of it, put it that way.
It's just me, Oos.
I prefer that one over the version that Jimmy uses, put it that way.
Yeah, no, I can agree. And I think this is the last one.
Yes, our boy Eric.
Eric, bad cop moment. Under the weather most of the week, and my sports teams all lost in the sports that I follow. There's your problem. Sports are bad. That's
Yeah.
it. That's all I got on
He
that.
also threw shade at me for my team as well, which he
Yeah,
probably
nobody
shouldn't.
cares.
Yeah.
Nobody cares.
Shut
It's
up, Tom. Shut up, Tom.
not even a real sport. WTF moment. My internet and Zoom crashed at same time, so the surprise pod I was working on is completely gone. That one I feel worse about.
Yeah, Zoom can be a finicky mistress at times, but I've
Good
never had
cop.
many problems. Going on, sorry.
Good cop moment. Bought an Xbox to start playing. Well, what kind of Xbox did you get? What'd you get? What games did you get? Like, what do you play? Like, come on, man. Give us some information.
Yes,
Because
I've DM'd him. He's gonna add me as a friend on there. We could maybe do something all on one of your streams, right? Perhaps down the line.
I just
Even
need,
Graham's got an Xbox, for heaven's sake.
if he brought up some of the stuff he was doing with his Xbox, we could talk about it right now to piss off Graham. But we can't now. Thanks, Eric. God.
Yeah. But Eric is gonna be on the show at some point in the future. He has said that, so look forward to that, of course. Enjoy your break, guys. You're having a little break with your podcast. We look forward to it returning soon. Natting of E is a very good part of the of the network. Right, guys, we'll be back next week. Me and Ryan are gonna have an early one. I'm gonna get I've got Chris bought a bottle of wine home for me, so I'm gonna tuck into that, and I will see you guys with Ryan and Graham next week. Any last notes for us, Ryan?
Remember that we now have unified trios champions in AEW. So guns out. Bag of dicks. I don't know. I got nothing. I fuck Jay White. He's so boring. I don't have time for this right now. I'm just fuck him. We're done with him. Screw you, Jay White.
We're done in general. We're out of here, guys. Take care. Boom.
The music was Happy Happy Game Show by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. http://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0/